Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with our bloggers as well as other top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Emerald Kaufman, and I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national PR firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a community of bloggers that share their personal experiences and wisdom gained throughout their lives. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that's just right for you. And today, we have a special guest with us, attorney and consultant Thomas Fox, who is an internationally recognized expert on anti-bribery and anti-corruption. He's authored two books on the U.S. Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, otherwise known as FCPA, and his latest is titled Best Practices Under the FCPA and Bribery Act. We'll be discussing exactly what the U.S. Foreign Corrupt Practices Act is and how it could impact your business. So welcome, Thomas.
Thanks very much, Stacey. Happy to be with you today.
It is my pleasure. So let's get right into it. What exactly is the FCPA, and then how does it impact businesses here?
Yes, the FCPA is a U.S. law which prevents U.S. companies from engaging in bribery of foreign governmental officials outside the United States. The thing that makes this so challenging for U.S. companies is, I think probably most of us would agree that a president of a foreign country, a minister, a secretary in an agency is a foreign governmental official, but the definition under the act is much broader than that, so that it's anyone who works for a state-owned enterprise, so a national oil company, for instance, or in the country where there's socialized medicine, England would be a good example. The doctors are actually governmental officials, so that makes them a foreign governmental official under the FCPA, and it makes it very challenging for U.S. companies to comply with the law.
Okay, so how does that act then apply to foreign companies?
The act is quite broad in its scope. It applies to all U.S. companies on a worldwide basis. It applies to U.S. citizens on a worldwide basis, no matter who they work for. But it also applies to foreign companies, which may have a U.S. subsidiary, and it applies to foreign subsidiaries of a U.S. company. So foreign companies, for instance, Total just was involved in a very large enforcement action, obviously a French company, but they have a U.S. subsidiary. They're also, that subsidiary is listed on the stock exchange. So jurisdiction was created for the foreign company, and Total paid a quite heavy fine for its violations of the FCPA.
Okay, now when you're talking about bribery, what are these violations? What type of bribery happens?
Sure. I think most people would agree that carrying bags of cash across the border are bribes, but it's also gifts from, we've seen Ferraris, yachts given, down to trips to the United States, travel and entertainment, large dinners, and other items which you may not think of as a bribe, but under the act, it defines it as a bribe, and it's more than just paying a bribe. It's actually an offer. So that if you make an offer to pay someone or give someone a gift or pay for them to fly them and their wives to Disneyland for a vacation, that's all covered in a violation of the FCPA.
So with such a broad range of different types of violations, how do companies – now, I'm assuming this really applies to the larger companies here in the United States, not necessarily some of the smaller companies, or does it apply to everyone? And then, you know, if you are kind of a little guy, how does the Department of Justice find out about these violations if you're kind of flying under the radar a little bit?
Well, unfortunately, it applies to everyone. It applies from the Exxons of the world to the Annie Jennings of the world to the Tom Foxes of the world. So my one-person law firm, it applies equally to any other U.S. company. So every company needs to be aware of it. Obviously, the larger company you would have more processes and procedures around compliance with the act. But the key is for a company to understand its risk and then manage that risk. So a small company, manufacturing company in the United States, who does no business overseas except through a distributor sales model, that would be their risk, and that's what they need to manage that risk in terms of compliance with the FCPA.
Okay, so that was leading me right to my next question. When I want to let our listeners know that if they're running a business, whether, like you said, you're just here in America, but yet you're using manufacturers overseas, you know, what can a company do to protect itself?
The key is really to have, number one, to assess your risk. That means have someone who's a subject matter expert in the FCPA look at what's your sales model, what's your supply chain model, what products do you have, where do you sell them, do the products and services you offer really go into a state-owned enterprise or a business owned by a foreign government like the energy industry, the extractive metal industry, extractive mining industry, or the pharmaceutical industry. And then from there, craft written policies and procedures around your risks, train your employees on those procedures, and then have a compliance function, either a person or a compliance department, who can help employees understand their obligations and follow those obligations going forward in their business.
Okay, so maybe even have, you know, test them out. Would you have, let's say, hire somebody to call in and, you know, like I said, test your employees, maybe talk to them about a certain thing that might lead to action that would be a violation and see if they're following all of those procedures?
That certainly would be one way to test the robustness of your program. You could call in if you have a company hotline. You could call in with a false report and have that investigated and see how your employees did on that. You can also test your employees on their knowledge of the FCPA specifically, but even more generally, what are their attitudes towards doing business in an ethical manner. So there's lots of different ways you can, on an ongoing basis, monitor not only your employees, but your books and records to make sure that there's no ongoing violation.
Okay, so, I mean, you've given us a lot of information here, but it seems like there's so much more under the FCPA that businesses out there, our listeners, if you're a small business owner, independent contractors, I mean, there's so many ways that you might unknowingly violate this act. So we want to encourage our listeners to learn more about this act and, of course, Thomas Fox and his new book, Best Practices Under the FCPA and Bribery Act. And you can do so by visiting Thomas's website at www.tfoxlaw.com. And again, FCPA is the U.S. Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. Thank you, Thomas, for a really informative interview.
It's been my pleasure, Stacey. Thank you.
Okay, and this podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm Annie Jennings PR and the creator of Jennings Wire Online Magazine, a diverse community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers that share helpful and perhaps life-changing posts and podcasts. So please enjoy much, much more on JenningsWire.com and discover bloggers that might be perfect for you. Thanks again. Until next time.